There was no Yankees baseball this past weekend, but there's still a lot to talk about. The Yankees' upcoming schedule, the trade deadline rumors, and much more. Let's get to it on this new episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. It was a really quiet, boring weekend without any Yankees baseball to watch. As we know, the New York Mets had a little issue with the COVID-19 virus, which kind of pushed back the schedule a little bit. Nonetheless, the weekend was a good way for the Yankees to kind of regroup. A couple of key injuries, so hopefully those couple of days give those guys extra rest needed in order to get back on the field relatively soon. We're going to give you a bunch of injury updates during this show today. We're going to talk about trade deadline rumors. We're only less than a week away from the trade deadline. It's amazing how quick it's really come up. And we're going to look ahead to the Yankees schedule. They'll play 20 games over the next 20 days. So there's a lot of Yankees baseball. If you missed them this weekend, don't worry. There's a lot of them coming up for you. Only one off day scheduled over the next couple of weeks up until September 14th. So you'll see a lot of Yankees baseball. If you don't have any rain or whatnot or any COVID issues, knock on wood, hopefully those both stay away. There's going to be a lot for us to talk about and discuss in regards to the Bronx Bombers. As always, follow us on social media at Pinstripe Talk ND. My personal account at Nick_Delahanty. You can find us on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Today, we have a favor to ask of you. If you are listening to our show, follow our Delahanty Media brand social media pages as well. Go to Facebook and search up Delahanty Media. We're also on Instagram with the same username. And again, go to our website, www.delahantymedia.com. You can find anything and everything for all things Delahanty Media brand. So if you want to find some past shows or find our most recent content, you can find it all right on there. And you could go to our shop, buy some gear, support the brand. Again, you found our podcast today. And without a doubt, we're thrilled about that because we love talking Yankees baseball. We love having you in on our conversation. But you might not know about all the possibilities to listen to our show. First and foremost, like I mentioned, www.delahantymedia.com. All our latest shows are published on there. You can check it out right on that forum. Apple Podcasts, subscribe, rate, and review the show on there. We cannot stress it enough. That helps our show grow. Please take some time out of your busy schedules to go click the 5-star button and give us a comment about the show. We appreciate all the feedback we've already gotten. We hope that you join in on that. Also, we're on Spotify. Subscribe to the show on there. They'll give you updates as to when our new content comes out. We're also on iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, Google Play Music, you name it. Our podcast is there available for you. We try to make it easy. It might seem like our podcast is available on way too many platforms, but we feel that it gives you guys an ample opportunity to find our content and to stream it and share it along with your friends. So a lot of exciting things happening in the Delahanty Media brand. And we're getting to that point of Yankees baseball where it's really starting to get to that point of you're looking toward the playoff race. And I hate to sound like this because I just am. And I hope that you guys maybe feel the same way. I don't, maybe you don't. But I just feel like the first couple of weeks of the season were like exhibition games. And here's why. I say it on every show, and I sound like a broken record at this rate, but with the current playoff format, it just feels like the top-tier teams are just battling for a playoff spot. And by battling for a playoff spot, I mean getting in. You know, if you look at the National League specifically, there's probably going to be teams that make the playoffs that are under 500. It's just how it's going to be. The American League, you have a good set of teams that are battling. Houston's playing a lot better. You have the teams in the Central that are battling it off. Tampa looks really good as of late. But for this Yankee team, and even with all the injuries, you just feel like they're going to find their way into the postseason. It's just a matter of how and what seed they are. And if they're really discussing a playoff bubble, does it really matter to get home field advantage at this rate? Yeah, if you're going to play at Yankee Stadium, your home games, obviously you want to be that top seed. You want to have that opportunity to play the majority of your games at home. But if you're going to an alternate site, that home field advantage kind of gets taken away. And yeah, you can make the case, you know, that final at bat does help. If you're trailing in the ninth and you're coming up in the bottom half of the ninth, or if that ball game goes into extra innings and you have that runner on second base rule come into effect, it does play a role. So yeah, obviously you want to be a higher seed. Obviously you want to win the division. But I think the main thing is getting in and hoping for the best possible matchup in regards to how the playoff seedings are going to match up. Because let's face it, you can match up with a team like Tampa that's had your number all year, and they might knock you out early in the playoffs. Or you might get a favorable seeding and play a team that may not be as strong as you, and you're able to take care of business. So there's a lot to unravel as the upcoming weeks go along. But to me, I just felt like we had a guaranteed playoff spot. And I hate to be like that and be arrogant, but it just, that's how it feels in this type of shortened season and with the expanded playoff format. I don't like it. I don't like the expanded playoff format. I think it takes away from the regular season. But I understand where Major League Baseball is coming from this year, especially given that there was so much chaos and so much controversy just getting a season in. So to have an actual season as up to this point and seeing them mostly getting everything together is a good sign, and hopefully it continues throughout the playoffs. A playoff bubble makes a lot of sense, especially given that you're going to be playing teams out of your division. I could definitely see them hosting everybody in a bubble, similar to what the NBA, WNBA, and NHL have done over the past couple of weeks. Now, before we get into any specific part of the Atlanta Braves series that's coming up on Tuesday night, let's take a look at the Yankees' upcoming schedule in case you don't know. They are in Atlanta right now. They'll play two against the Braves. Remember, the Yankees took the first two at Yankee Stadium last week or week and a half ago. So hopefully Yankees can continue that trend. We'll talk about that series a little bit more later on. They'll have an off day on Thursday, which will be a good refresher as they play the Mets for five over the weekend. They'll play two games on Friday night, one on Saturday, two on Sunday. It's going to be a busy weekend for the Yankees and the Mets. They got to catch up from the issue with the COVID-19 virus. And then right after, the Yankees have three against Tampa. That's a big series. The final three against the Rays this year. Yankees got to win that series. There's no doubt about it. And then they'll make up a game with the Mets. They had a mutual day off. That'll be the final game of the team's matchup for the season. Then you have the Orioles for four games. Another doubleheader. They'll play that doubleheader on that Friday afternoon into night. Three against Toronto. That's the first time they see the Blue Jays this year. Then they have the Orioles again before they have an off day on September 14th. So that equals up to 20 games in 20 days. And you have the one off day that's coming up. So the bulk of the games, you're going to play 18 games over a 17-day span. So a lot of baseball for the Yankees. They're going to need some help in regards to pitching. We're going to cover that a lot more on this show. But before we do, I want to get into the latest New York Yankees injury update. Seems like a really common trend that we're following with these injury updates. It's rather unbelievable, to be quite honest with you, that we even have to talk about how many guys are hurt. Let's start with the good news, and that's the fact that the Yankees believe Aaron Judge will be back in the lineup this week. Judge, as we know, landed on the injury list, had some lower body tightness, and it seems like the Yankees kind of jumped the gun on Judge, but they wanted to take it as a precaution with him. So it looks like he is ready to get back into form. And the Yankees obviously need him. Let's be real. They need him in the lineup. They need his presence and whatnot. So it's good to see Aaron Judge getting back on the field. DJ LeMahieu, the timetable is 2 to 3 weeks. Remember, he missed 2.5 weeks when he had the thumb injury with the Rockies. So it's going to be a while before we see DJ LeMahieu. We still have a little bit of time. And hopefully it heals right, because this could be something that could linger on. And the way the Yankees' injury history is, you really can't take anything for granted. Then the Yankees place two more on the injured list. James Paxton with the left flexor strain. That's retroactive to August 21st. The left-hander, it's a big year for him. He's in a contract year. He's really hurting his value. We're going to talk about Paxton a little bit more when we get into the trade deadline, because his status definitely impacts what the Yankees may or may not do with the deadline. And then Gleyber Torres, another guy landing on the 10-day injured list. He has a left hamstring strain. Again, that's a big blow for the Yankees, considering LeMahieu's already out. The Yankees are going to roll with a middle infield of Thairo Estrada at second and Tyler Wade at shortstop. Yeah, if you would have told me a couple of months ago that August 25th, the Yankees would have Wade at short and Estrada at second, I would have thought that they had a really bad year and the injuries hit them again and everything went wrong. So, not a good sign for the Yankees. Obviously, they like what they have in Wade. They like what they have in Estrada. But is either guy really an everyday player? It's a good opportunity for them. I totally understand that. They'll get a chance to show their value or whatnot. But that may be a position where the Yankees look to add some depth as the trade deadline goes around. And, you know, even if they get a guy that could play multiple positions, like a LeMahieu type that could play short, could play third, on occasion, could play second. And that might be an option for them. They may be able to get somebody on a good deal, but again, who knows with the way the trade deadline is set up this year. And then Luis Avalon, he has left shoulder inflammation. That he'll be on the injured list. They didn't announce that, which is kind of weird. Maybe they're waiting for the roster moves prior to Tuesday night's contest. But again, it will remain to be seen how the Yankees fill the roster voids. And as we're talking about that, let's take a look at what they could do to fill the roster. And if you're a Yankees fan, and like myself, you know how they're going to fill it. We don't even have to think about this. The logical name would be Clark Schmidt. Give the kid a start, especially with the five games over the weekend against the Mets. But as the Yankees operate, Clark Schmidt's not going to get an opportunity anytime soon. And here's why. And I hate to say this because I want to see the kid pitch. Number one, he's not on the 40-man roster. They're not going to make room on the roster to bring him up. They don't want to lose another player. They already lost David Hale. They ended up trading Hale to the Phillies for Addison Russ, who's a reliever. But they're not going to bring Schmidt up and lose somebody else on the 40-man roster at this rate. They're looking at this in this type of way. They're going to bring up somebody who's on the 40-man roster to make a start against the Mets. I don't know who, but either they're going to make the start and they're going to pitch in a limited role, or they're going to just be brought up as a 29th man to give depth to the bullpen. At this rate, you would expect that Davey Garcia, who's on the actual 40-man roster, would get a crack at the starting rotation before a guy like Clark Schmidt does. And that's a shame because I think Schmidt is a little bit ahead of him in regards to development. But I could logically see the Yankees giving Michael King a start and Jonathan Loaisiga a start in the double headers and go with bullpen games and then rely on a guy like Gerrit Cole to pitch on Sunday and hope that he can go six or seven innings and save your pen. It's going to be tricky. I don't know how Aaron Boone's thinking about this. To be quite honest with you, I don't want to think like Aaron Boone at this rate, but they're going to use guys like Nick Nelson. They're going to use guys like Michael King. They're going to use guys like Loaisiga, Chad Green, if they ever find Chad Green because he's been missing in action because they haven't used him. But they're going to use these guys because of the need. And with the shortened double headers, you hope that Cole could give you close to a complete game and you roll from there. It's going to be tricky. It's going to be interesting. But for those of you who are calling for Clark Schmidt, I don't see him giving him a shot right away. And let's face it, with Paxton being down, with Hap's struggles on the mound, why not give a guy like Schmidt a chance? Why not give a guy like Michael King a start, you know, and throw them into the mix? You see all these teams around Major League Baseball bringing up their top prospects. And this year, unlike any other, these teams aren't worried about club control or what level these guys played at beforehand. They're bringing guys up and they're throwing them into the fire. And I love it. I think it's great for the game because let's think about this, right? Let's compare sports. In the NFL, if you're a first-round draft pick, there's a very good chance that you're going to be playing on Sundays right away. It's very rare for a first-round pick to not play. Maybe you have a quarterback that sits behind a veteran and doesn't start right away. But for the most part, your guys are playing right away. Same thing in the NBA. If you're a first-round pick, you're playing. Like, they're throwing you into the fire. There's no minor league system you're going to. Yeah, you have, like, the G League or whatnot, but the first-round picks are on the active roster. Baseball's the only sport where you could draft a player and you might not see that player for five or six or maybe never in their career. Like, that's how crazy it is. You know, you see guys like Joey Bart in San Fran. Adele in L.A., yeah, he's struggling, but it is what it is. You see a lot of these guys coming up, and I know those two aren't pitchers, but the kid from the Indians the other night that came up, he was dominant. That kid pitched awesome. I don't remember his name off the top of my head, so don't crucify me here, but he pitched awesome. So you know what? Give these guys a chance. And you're in a predicament where you're battling for your playoff spot, you're battling for the AL East. Why not give this kid a chance? He might be your best option that you have internally. But, and again, we're going to get into the trade deadline. I'll give my stance on that in a little bit as well. But I wouldn't expect to see Clark Schmidt. I could be wrong. I would love to be wrong in this situation. But I just think that they're going to try to fill the void internally. And barring any injuries, I think Schmidt stays at the alternate site for now. Do I think we see him at some point? Yeah. I think eventually they're going to have to bring him up. I think they're going to be forced to. But for now, I think they're content with what they have, and you're going to see guys that are on the 40-man roster get that crack, especially with the doubleheaders because the roster expands by one player to give teams a little more flexibility. So you'll see them mix and match. They'll give guys an opportunity to pitch in the first doubleheader, and then they'll use another guy as the 29th man for the second one. So it'll remain to be seen how they use those spots, but only time will tell. And obviously, with the other injury spot, especially for Gleyber Torres, they're going to need a middle infielder. They have Matt Duffy in the alternate site. They just signed Jody Mercer. They have a couple of options. A Holder, the shortstop, is down there as well. So expect one of them to get the call to join the big league club because they're going to need the flexibility and the versatility. I would expect Mercer or Duffy at this rate. Maybe Holder gets a chance, but if I'm a betting man, I would go with one of the veterans. I think they're going to use them for the time being. And they're expendable. So when they come off the roster, you know, they're expendable at this rate. Now, trade deadline. This is something that's really interesting to me. August 31st is the trade deadline. If you're listening to our show, upon its release, it is 6 days away. That's crazy to think about. Usually, the trade deadline's already gone, and there's a lot more baseball that was played. But the Yankees have been linked to starting pitching, obviously, because the starting pitching's been terrible. But I don't think they should make a move in terms of starting pitching. If they're going to make a move anywhere, I think that they should add either another reliever or middle infield depth, and here's why. If you look at the starting pitching market, you either have A, your rentals, like Trevor Bauer, Tajon Walker, or you have your guys that have club control that are going to take a pretty penny to get, but may be a headache to your club. Cough, the pitchers from Cleveland, Clevinger, Plesac, you name them, whatnot. If you make a trade, you're limited this year because you can only trade guys that are on your roster from the alternate site. So if you wanted to trade for, say, a Clevinger, you have to pick from what you have available. You could add guys to the roster, obviously, but you're kind of limited. So for me, when I'm looking at the market, unless you're getting Trevor Bauer, I think that's the best guy out there. And personally, I love Trevor Bauer. Don't get me wrong. I'm a big Trevor Bauer fan. But I don't think the Yankees want the antics. I don't think the Yankees want to bring him along because of how he is off the field and how he is kind of on the field too. He's a little bit of a distraction, I'll give him that. But the guy is a great pitcher, and there's nobody in baseball that markets himself better than Trevor Bauer. Would I love to see him in pinstripes? Absolutely. Do I think it happens? No. The team to look for is Seattle. They have a couple of guys that may be expendable. Walker, I mentioned earlier, the Yankees have been linked to him. John Morosi said the Yankees have checked in on them. Brian Cashman and Jerry DePoto love trading with each other. They've made 8 trades over the last 5 seasons. The big one being Paxton. And then last year, Edwin Encarnacion. They ended up getting him at the deadline. But again, like, you sit there and you look at Justice Sheffield that they gave up in the Paxton trade, and he's been good as of late, and the sample size has been good in the recent history, but you start to question, did the Yankees lose that trade? You know, Paxton's going into his contract year. He's probably not coming back, and he's been injured. The injury bugs really sidelined him and hampered him a little bit. You start to question if it's worth trading these guys for these pitchers that may not be the answer. And that's why I'm so content with giving the guys like King and Schmidt an opportunity, because I think that in the long term, it's going to help you. Yeah, I know the old saying, prospects are cool, World Series parades are cooler. I get that. But look at the open market. Is there one pitcher on the market that is available that you think gets the Yankees over the hump in October? If anybody, I would say Bauer. I think Bauer, if they end up getting him somehow, I think that he's the guy, the missing piece that gets him. And he's got the World Series experience as well. You have a combo of Cole, Bauer, Tanaka, and then Montgomery. That's a solid four to me. I would definitely take that. Clevinger, I think, would be a good piece. I think that the issues off the field are a little concerning. Does he do that in the Bronx? I don't know. You know, you don't really know. Did he learn from the mistakes? But I don't think Marco Gonzalez is the answer. I don't think Tyjon Walker is the answer, even though he's been really good as of late. You know, if you look at the big sample size from Walker, he's been a 500 pitcher, if that, high ERA. How does that translate into Yankee Stadium? I don't know if I give away some of my valuable prospects for a rental. I just don't. And Lance Lynn, we already had him. That didn't work out. I wouldn't reconsider that. So looking at the market, there's no clear-cut guy that could be available that I'd be comfortable with giving up a lot for. Bauer's a rental. How much do you really give up for a rental? Yeah, well, I get the Cubs gave up Glaber for Chapman. That's probably one of the best deals in Major League Baseball history if you're looking at it from both sides. But if you're sitting there and you're Brian Cashman, you know, you have to have a price limit as to what you're willing to give up, and you're limited in your resources this year, which makes it even harder. So I don't know if the Yankees go out and make a big splash. I really don't. I think they will make a move, obviously. I think they're going to add a reliever. They're going to look at the reliever market, maybe get a steal, a guy that they could plug in. If that, they might not even look at that route. They might say they have enough there, and maybe a middle infielder, just to give a little bit of an upgrade to what they currently have with Wade and Estrada. Maybe they find a guy with versatility that can be more of an everyday player, and that's okay to me. But knowing how Brian Cashman operates, it wouldn't surprise me to see him go out and get a starting pitcher, because let's face it, they have a need. They know they have a need, and Cashman's thinking win now. And if he doesn't think that the guys that I mentioned, Garcia, King, Schmidt, are ready to go and ready to help this team win a pennant and a championship this year, then he's going to do all the necessary things in order to go out and get the pitcher or pitchers that he ultimately wants or desires. And it's going to be interesting to see what Cashman does. He's a surprising guy. And let's also put this into consideration. You know, the Yankees pitching prospects haven't really worked out. There's very few that have. So are the Yankees going to hold on to those guys and hope that they break the chain and Matt Blake's able to right the wrong? Or are they going to give up those prospects in hopes of getting a stud pitcher, similar to what they did with Paxton? They gave up on Sheffield and ended up getting a guy they thought was going to be a valuable piece to their rotation, but injuries and whatnot have really derailed him. So it's a fine line to walk, and it's a fine line that I'm glad I don't have to walk. I don't have to be the decision maker. I could just sit here behind my mic and discuss what the Yankees do. You know, it's easy for me. I get to see what they do, how they handle things, if I agree with it. So there's a lot that does go into play here for the Yankees, and it'll be interesting to see what they do at the deadline. I don't think this roster's set. I really don't. I don't think we're going to see the same roster in a week. But again, anything could happen at the trade deadline. And if Cashman thinks his team's ready to win, and I think he does, and he feels that there's a need, he's going to go get that guy he needs. And I'm sure that he's been active on the phones for the last couple of weeks heading up into the August 31st trade deadline. My question to you guys, and I want to hear your opinion, so please tweet me your answers. Okay, this is my simple question. You can give me a reason why. Maybe I'll read some on our next show if we get a couple of good answers. Are there any prospects or any players that you deem to be untouchable at the trade deadline? Obviously, don't give me Aaron Judge and Gleyber Torres and guys like that. We all know that those guys are very locked up in regards to what the Yankees are doing. But is there a prospect out there? Is there a guy, or maybe a guy even on the active roster, that you wouldn't trade? Like for me, I'll give you an example. I wouldn't give up Clint Frazier. And my reasoning behind it is they're going to need outfield help. Because let's face it, I think Brett Gardner's in the last year of his Yankee tenure. I think that this is going to be the end of the line for Gardner. Nothing but love for him, but I think that Father Time is catching up to him. I think the Yankees realize that. And with the influx of outfielders, I think that they're ready to move on. Considering that Stanton's probably a full-time DH at this rate, Yankees are going to need outfielders. Tauchman becomes even more valuable. And then Frazier's a guy that could play and get a lot of opportunities with the Yankees. I wouldn't give up on him just yet. I love his bat. I think he's the guy that I wouldn't trade at this rate. And I want to see what Schmidt does. I think anybody else is expendable. And again, you have to look at trade value. I don't know how Andujar's value is. His value is probably low at this rate considering the struggles that he's recently had. And let's remember, he really has no position. So it'll be interesting to see. But let me know your thoughts at Pinstripe Talk ND. Send us guys that you don't want to see the Yankees part ways with just yet. And we'll discuss it as we come up to the trade deadline. Now, let's get back into actual baseball. The Yankees are going to actually play baseball this week. It's a fantastic thing. They have a two-game set against the Atlanta Braves starting on Tuesday night. Gerrit Cole takes the mound against the Braves. As of now, the Braves have not announced a starting pitcher for that one. Cole looks to continue his trend of pitching well. He's starting to get on a roll, and it's going to be scary for the American League if he does, in fact, get on that roll. We've seen him do over time and get on. He's been great for the Yankees. I love watching him pitch, and hopefully he can continue to dominate. And then the Wednesday night game, that'll be on ESPN and the YES Network. Remember, we don't have to tolerate ESPN or any other national broadcast site for any Yankees games. They're all going to be on YES. That's Masahiro Tanaka and Max Fried. Tanaka has looked good at times and had some struggles. You know, Tanaka's a guy that I have a lot of confidence in Tanaka. And if you follow me on Twitter, I have to just put this side note in there because I think it's funny. You know, Masahiro tweets in Japanese because obviously that's his native language. And it frustrated me because I love Tanaka. He's one of my favorite players that the Yankees have had in some time. But it frustrated me because I was always having to translate it. And Twitter does a good job of letting you translate it. But I just felt that there was a need to connect with Tanaka in a way that I couldn't do before. And I can't speak Japanese. I speak English. I don't speak any other language. It's a very bad thing considering I'm a teacher. You know, I want to learn another language. So I've been taking some time to learn some Japanese through translators, through looking up things on the internet. And I've been tweeting at Tanaka in Japanese. So if he'll tweet, I'll tell him, have a great day, or I can't wait to see you back on the mound. Just to bridge the gap between myself and Masahiro Tanaka. I know it's probably weird, but you know what? I don't care. I love Tanaka, and I hope he's a Yankee for a long time. Now, back to the fact. Everybody says, you know, Tanaka's building up. He had the concussion. He's working his pitch count up, and that's fine. But come postseason, I expect to see dominant Tanaka. It's just a common trend. You know, you sit there, you watch him pitch, and you've seen what he's done ever since he arrived in the Bronx, and it's been nothing but good. So hopefully he avoids injury because that's the big thing with the Yankees, injuries. And he continues to get back on track because I think that a combination of him and Cole at the top of the Yankees rotation is a big boost for the Yankees considering what they have lingering in that bullpen, especially when they get Zach Britton back into the mix. So that'll be the two-game set against the Braves. Yankees need to win that series or at least split the series. Why? You're coming off that ugly sweep against Tampa. You don't want that to linger. You want to kind of nip that in the butt. COVID is not an excuse to help a team, but I think in the Yankees' case, it really does benefit them because they got a chance to kind of refresh and regroup after that series. They got slapped around in their home ballpark against the Rays. They had their ways with the Yankees. It was kind of pathetic. Yeah, there wasn't many blowouts in the series, but you could tell that Tampa's riding high, and the Yankees have to start winning some ball games in order to keep up in the division. So I think at least a split in this one is doable. I definitely think it's doable, especially with Cole on the mound. You expect to win the start that he's making. If Tanaka gives you a good outing, you expect the Yankees to hold on and win both games, which would in turn complete a season sweep of the Atlanta Braves. That'd be a nice sweep to get. Atlanta's got a good team. I've said that from the word go. So it'll be an interesting two games. We're going to have another show for you come Thursday after that series wraps up. That'll be an off day, so you'll get some new Pinstripe Talk content on that day as well. And then over the weekend, we're going to talk about it more on Thursday show, but just to look ahead, Yankees have the doubleheader on Friday. Times are to be determined as of now. Jay Happ is going to start one of the games for the Yankees. The Mets are still undecided. Who knows what's going to happen with the Yankees' rotation. They're probably going to go to a bullpen game for one of the two games in that Friday contest. And Saturday, Jordan Montgomery takes the ball. He'll be well-rested. That'll be a 1 o'clock start. They'll get the opportunity. Hopefully, Montgomery could give them some length in that ball game because, again, with the five games in 3 days, it's going to be taxing on the Yankees' bullpen. And then Sunday, we'll get Gerrit Cole for one of the two. Again, undecided for the second one. It's probably going to be a bullpen game and see who has to pitch in the Cole game to see where the Yankees go from that one. Again, I expect Nick Nelson, Michael King, Jonathan Loaisiga, expect a lot of them over the weekend. So buckle up, Yankees fans. There's a lot of baseball coming up. I know this weekend stunk, and I hope that the players and the staff from the New York Mets are doing well in their recovery from COVID-19. It's never a good thing, but it's great to see that the Mets are getting back on the field. And hopefully those members of the team could join them in the near future. But for the Yankees, it's go time. They got to buckle up, get back on track. That Tampa series was ugly, but they have a lot of division contests coming up, especially against Toronto. So there's an opportunity for the Yankees to really compete against their division and take advantage of the division, get them back on track. They got 10 against Toronto. They got another 3 against Tampa. Those are going to be big games. And then you have a couple of more against the Red Sox, 3 more against them. And then let's not take it for granted that the Yankees still have 8 games against the Baltimore Orioles as well. The Orioles were playing well. Hopefully they fall off by the time the Yankees see them. It's a matter of struggling and whatnot. But Toronto and Baltimore account for 18 of the Yankees' remaining games. So that's going to be a big chunk for the Bronx Bombers. The Yankees took care of Baltimore last year and Toronto. Toronto always gives them fits. But the good thing is they don't have to actually go to Toronto and play on the turf. So Aaron Judge has no reason to play on turf, which is good considering that that's how he got hurt in the first place going to Tampa's turf. But it's going to be a really interesting stretch for the Yankees. And it all starts this week with their National League East Division contest between the Mets and the Braves, accounting for 7 of their remaining contests. So we have a lot coming up. Obviously, like I mentioned, we're going to have another show on Thursday when the Yankees series against the Braves wraps up. We're going to have a Mets series show. We're going to break down the entire series against the Mets. 5 games, that's going to be a lot to talk about. And then a trade deadline special. Do the Yankees do anything? Will we see any moves? Are they going to bolster this roster for the playoff stretch? Time will only tell. But the beautiful thing is, regardless of what the Yankees do, we are going to provide you with new content here on the Pinstripe Talk podcast. So make sure you stay tuned for the latest news and updates regarding our show. Follow us on Twitter at Pinstripe Talk ND, my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. Search us up on Facebook, Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Again, if you listened at the beginning of the show, I gave you some homework. Find us, Delahanty Media, on Facebook. Also find us, Delahanty Media, on Instagram and www.delahantymedia.com. If you go to our store, type in the promo code PT, that's P as in Paul, T as in Tom, and it also stands for Pinstripe Talk, and you'll get 10% off your order on Teespring. A lot of people have been ordering the gear. They love it. It looks good. If you order gear, send us a picture. We'll post it on our social media feed for everybody to see so we can tell everybody and make everybody jealous of how good you're going to look in your official Delahanty Media or Pinstripe Talk gear. That's going to wrap it up for today's show. My name is Nick Delahanty. As always, I thank you for tuning in. We are having a lot of fun here doing this show. A lot to talk about, a lot to dissect. And although there are some struggles, there are some injury woes, we love talking Yankees baseball. We hope that you join in on our conversation. Until next time, again, I'm Nick Delahanty. This is the Pinstripe Talk podcast powered by Delahanty Media. And as always, never forget it. Let's go Yankees. Take care, everybody. We will talk to you very soon.